The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, that dumb fish who doesn't trust his gut, Paul Dana Jr., and Fletcher Page take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome in to the walkout. Truly living up to the walkout name, which I'm excited about, because we are literally walking across downtown Baltimore. It's a lovely walk.
Ravens Walk.
We're on the Ravens Walk.
Kareem Elgazar,
photographer, video, visual journalist extraordinaire, Fletcher Page, as we truck across the Ravens Walk, and when you walk across right past Camden Yards. And then we show up at the Hilton.
A picturesque walk.
It is picturesque. A beautiful bridge. There was an actual live raven here when we walked over. Two ravens that you could get your picture. I always appreciate wildlife when I'm going to a football game. So let's talk a little bit about this. I liked tweeting out the phrase Harry L. Because I think when we look back at this season, this is going to be one that you should have had. A rookie quarterback in his first start, an essentially one-dimensional offense, and multiple opportunities to go win the tilt. And you couldn't do it. Honestly, in what was their strength? I mean, they have driven the field and won the game like that all year long. And you're thinking, here's the latest. And they couldn't do it.
They didn't have A.J. Green. And I think that this offense is, I mean, they've proven that they can finish games. They've done some great things in the fourth quarter. But I just can't believe that this game came down to Cody Core.
Cody Core!
Having to win a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And he just didn't do it.
Well, that's where they're at. It's one thing. You had the other injuries. You could deal with that when you had A.J. there. When you don't, you think more about Eifert. You think more about Croft. You think more about even Josh Malone. Because all those people are people that Andy Dalton would much rather throw to than Cody Core.
Right.
But that was where he was at, because that was the one-on-one. It should have been a simple pitch and catch. Was there contact? Was there holding? You know what there was? A ball that hit a dude in the chest.
Yeah, but
Kareem had great photos of that. You did.
Well, you know, one of the things about, you know, the Ravens offense being one-dimensional, it reminds me of Dennis Green. They are who we thought they
yes.
were, and we let them off the hook.
Let them off the hook. You did. That's exactly what it is.
So, I mean, you know they're going to be running the ball a lot. You know that Lamar Jackson may or may not have all the skills in the repertoire of the playbook to throw it around the ball yard,
nope.
right? So, I noticed that the Bengals defense was still playing a little bit, I don't know if cover two is the right term, but yeah. they had two deep safeties. And it was maybe middle of the second quarter, into the third quarter. I'm like, why don't they start, you know, packing the box a little bit more, trying to yeah. stuff this run? Yeah. They did a little bit of that, as you said earlier, about how, you know, they were doing a little bit of a run blitz. But that's what I was a little bit more surprised about, is that the defense didn't necessarily adjust to the Ravens' offensive game plan.
Yeah, you had some interesting stats on that. So, because here's the weird thing, and here's where they're going to get hammered, right?
Right.
Like, and rightfully so. Doc wrote about this, and I've heard Doc say something, I've heard it a million times. It is, when you start talking about applauding effort, you stink, right? Yeah. You are not good if you are
applauding effort, and that's your deal. So that is where we were at today. We ended up where you were encouraged. Marvin Lewis encouraged by the defense. This was sort of his thing. Is that warranted? Is that like trying to have a moral victory here in a game that is not really about moral anything? This was a huge tilt. You really had to go win.
All right, yeah. Let me just... I want to preface what I'm about to say here.
Yeah.
I'm going to preface. Okay. They gave up a record amount of rushing yards for the Marvin Lewis era. Okay, 265. Yeah. Lamar Jackson's like the first quarterback to rush for 100 yards since Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And they set a franchise record for yards by quarterback. So I'm not caping for the defense here. But
yeah.
They gave up... Here's the stat. They gave up 6.8 yards per carry on the opening drive the Bengals defense did. It was 75 yards rushing, 11 straight rushes. For the rest of the game, though, the Ravens averaged 3.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
So that does sort of speak to the fact that, well, A, Marvin Lewis admitted he was mashing the wrong button on the headset and couldn't get the play calls in on the first drive.
First time he's ever used the
communicator. Which is symbolic of, well, this is going to take a little bit of time for somebody who hasn't called plays since 2004 to call plays.
Is it? I mean, incapable of practicing using a communicator during the week? Well, are we going to claim that it surprised you?
Right. You asked about moral victory, right?
Yeah.
In week two or week three?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But this game was too important.
Not in week 11 running out of weeks.
You are running out of weeks.
And you got Hardy Nickerson. It's the first time he's ever had the earpiece on, or the communicator on the field, too.
Yeah.
So you got two people who have never used this form of communication figuring it out while Lamar Jackson is just running all over you.
If only the Bengals had access to this technology during the practice week.
Right.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. True. How are you surprised? There should be no surprises. No. There should be no surprises. Whatever.
That's the least of the issues. So we walked into locker rooms, like after the Steelers game, I know you know something was up because it was like, there were some veiled comments made by a lot of players and it boiled down to the play calling. It was a total different vibe walking in today. I mean, Dre Kirkpatrick, Carlos Dunlap, every defensive player that we talked to just had this like major positive spin.
Yeah. Well, they finally did make a couple plays. Like you had the interception, you had the fourth down stop, you had the two stops late to get the ball back to your offense.
They forced field goals twice inside the red zone.
Right. So now here's the thing though. Again, this is a one-dimensional, bad offense. A bad offense. And you still gave up over 400 yards and couldn't hold them to anything less than 24 points to go win the game. We can talk about all sides of the ball. I mean, let's not act like they were the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens out there.
Yeah, but at the end of the game, the offense had two chances to either tie or win. They couldn't do it.
Look, and I'll take this one on the chin because Lord knows somehow I've became like Team Randy Bullock. Like, dude, you've got to make that kick.
Yep.
You've got to make that kick.
What was that, 46?
51, 52.
That he missed?
That he missed. Pushed it wide right. And look, 52, it's a longer way out, but you just got to have it. For the most part, these were things that this team had excelled at over the totality of this season. Driving late, making big field goals, finishing games. Like, that honestly had been what they'd done the best. And then here they were. And in that spot, they missed the field goal. Twice they can't drive it all far enough. And that's how you lose a game. They lost doing what they have done best.
Right. Well, and then too with that offense, you knew going on the road without AJ, they're gonna have to do some weird things, and some weird things happen.
Yeah.
John Ross won a ball that he competed for.
Miracles!
Matt Langle caught a touchdown. You know, Tyler Boyd had a couple of third down conversions. It just, you needed some weird players to step up, and Cody Core just happened to be the guy at the end that was going to make the most pivotal catch.
All right.
And
I'm about to do a thing.
All right.
Why is Cody Core in there?
Who should have been in there?
Auden Tate literally is the king of the contested catch. It's what he does best. He even made one his first career reception earlier in the game. Auden Tate was originally in there on fourth down. A timeout was called, and he got pulled out.
Yeah.
Look, this coaching staff has had some sort of love affair with Cody Core, who's done nothing but drop passes in big spots, and they have a guy who, for all his faults, Lord knows he's timed by a sundial, and he's super slow, he's not explosive, he has vice grip hands.
Great hands.
Yeah. Great hands. And he's 6'5".
He has the frame to win.
That crappy route, and against where it's just a physical turnaround, is made for someone like Auden Tate. For him not to be out there is, I'm going to say, it's an abomination. It's a disgrace. That's how I feel. And I'm not like, look, he's a 7th-round pick and whatever. And maybe he wouldn't have made the play either. But at least he's made for that route and those types of situations where you know it's going to be a contested ball. It's not like Cody Core is running himself with his speed wide open all day. That's stuff that's irritating. Bottom line, Harry L., you know we will look back on this in Week 17 and point to this game.
It's definitely a costly loss, like you were saying also. In Week 17, when you're at Pittsburgh and you might even win that game and you're a game back or two games back and you don't make the playoffs potentially because you don't have all the wins that you need, you're going to be looking back at this Week 11 game.
Right, well, and we knew that.
Hey, who controls their own destiny for the 6th spot
in the Baltimore playoffs? Ravens currently own the 6th seed if it ended today. That's where we're at.
That's wild.
That's two. Look, the Bengals and the Ravens were two middling teams playing middling football in the middling NFL, and that's who they are. They'll be amongst the other middling teams trying to outscuffle each other for that 6th seed at the end of the day. They'll be in it. The Bengals will end up in the 8-8, 9-7 area probably, and they'll wish they had this win because it probably would have been the difference. And now you kept the Ravens alive. You would have buried them. They would have been buried right here tonight in Baltimore if they'd have won this game. But instead, they're very much alive. And now you got to worry about them. Plus, the Colts are on fire. They look like an actual real team.
Marlon Mack, bringing them back.
Andrew Luck. Anyway, all right, I'm done. I've multiple rants. I'm kind of tired and I'm hungry.
I'm finally thirsty.
To the Hilton, so we gotta quench our thirst. Fletcher, Kareem, fun walk. Let's go eat. Talk to you later.